Let's turn in the scriptures to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. We'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 34. Proverbs 24, verses 1 through 34. And God's people, these are God's words, so let's give our attention to Him. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, Behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul, when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, Thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Those are God's words. A few themes here in chapter 24. The first is the one who seeks after wisdom and understanding and knowledge, verse 3. It says, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gates. And then also in verse 13 and 14 we have the blessing and encouragement to seek after wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Verse 13, my son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. And then he addresses the wicked in this chapter as well, versus the just or righteous, with encouragement to the just and righteous one. Verse 15. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall in the mischief. That should be an encouragement, a comfort to us when we fall. He says here, the just man falleth seven times. The righteous man falleth seven times and rises up again. And why do we rise up again? But only by the Spirit who works in us and by the grace of God. And then condemning here, the Lord condemns the respect, having respect for persons or partiality, verse 23. These things also belong to the wise. That is, it is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. And so also here condemned, calling that which is evil good and good evil, there will befall upon them curses, and nations shall abhor them. And then a warning at the very end of slothfulness in our work, in our duties, in the home. Even there, slothfulness, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. He looked at the vineyard that had the thorns and the nettles and the wall that was broken down, and he learned something. And the slothful person, verse 33, says this, just a little sleep, just a little slumber, just a little folding of the hands to sleep, just a little bit. And so the conclusion of that, the Lord says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Go around traveling all the time. You'll run out of money. You'll become poor. So we ought to be considering turning from slothfulness. And then in preparation for the sermon this morning, on fearing and fretfulness. You see in verse 19, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. And then, of course, you remember that Solomon is writing this. He's writing it to his son, who may be king. And so he says, verse 21, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? Right? We're not to fret or fear evil men, the wicked. We are to fear the Lord and the king that he has put over us, the rulers he has put over us. Let's pray together. Our Father, thankful for the wisdom you grant to us. Thankful that you are the God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in your wisdom. In your wisdom, in your truth. And we're thankful that you reveal to us who you are, the truth and wisdom in your word, in the scriptures. And you teach us against these sins of slothfulness, of fear, and even wickedness and folly. Our Father, we do pray that you would, in Christ, by your Holy Spirit, strengthen us. Grant us knowledge and understanding and wisdom. That above all things, we would have these things. So that we would know how to live righteous and holy lives for you. And that you would equip us by your grace and by your Spirit to actually live in that way. But we cannot live in that way really and practically unless we know what to do. And so teach us your ways and teach us wisdom, and then grant us the grace to walk in the paths after Jesus Christ in the narrow way, leading to life and blessing forever. Our Father, we do praise you. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful that it declares unto us you, our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, even the Spirit who is now within our hearts, those who have come and turned in faith to Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit in our hearts. And Father, we're thankful knowing that you're always with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. You know everything about us. Our frailties, our struggles, our sins even. But so too you know our joys, what we love. And Father, we pray that what we love, what is joyful to us would be what you love and what is joyful to you. We pray that our hearts and our minds, our wills and our affections would come and line up with yours. That we would be honoring to you and all of our obedience unto you by your grace. That it would be a sweet smelling aroma in your nostrils. And Father, we do praise you. We're thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're thankful that you sent him, Father, to die on the cross. You delivered him over for us all, that we might in him have all things, and that we might be the blessed ones in union with Christ Jesus, that we would be glorified in him. We're thankful that we have died in union with Christ to our sin, and to the also that you have raised us up in Christ, in which we look for and longing and hope for the great resurrection of the dead and even of our bodies. And Father, we're thankful that when we breathe our last breath, our souls will be immediately joined to you in communion with you in heaven in glory. And we're thankful for this, that we will be made perfectly holy. And so we are thankful and draw great comfort and contentment in this life now because of your promises in which you're always faithful. There is never, as we have all, each one individually, look back upon our lives, honestly considering our lives and what we have experienced. You have never been unfaithful to any of your promises, but always faithful, always keeping your word. Always bringing about exactly what you said you would bring about. And we're thankful for this, that we can have great comfort in the rest of your promises that we know, of how you will always work together, all things together for our good, even to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. That you, as we've already prayed, you will never leave us nor forsake us. You will always be with us by your Spirit, even unto eternity, in which we look forward to that as well, in perfect communion with Christ your Son. And Father, now we do pray for our congregation that you would sanctify us, make us holy as a body, a corporate body of your people. We pray that you would grow us in number, that we would hear the many more would hear the gospel, that many more would go out from here and evangelize and tell people about Christ and call sinners to repentance. That many more would enter into your kingdom, and your kingdom would grow, and Satan's kingdom would be destroyed. This we pray as we hope in Christ, who has promised that all nations, even as we sing in the Psalms, that all nations will turn unto you in Christ your Son. And so we look in hope of that day, and that might not be in our lifetime, but we look forward to it in hope. And we pray for it to come in accordance with your will. Our Father, we do pray for those who are sick. It seems like there are many who are not feeling well today. And so we ask for that you would be with them and grant them your special blessing of healing, of sickness, that they might even be here this evening. We pray for Arian, who's not feeling well. I pray that you would be with her, and as she still has to take care of the kids by herself, I pray that you would heal her and make her to feel better. I pray also for those of for Carla and Melissa, Luke, and the kids, that you would be with them, and thankful for the service of Kendall caring for them as they need that. Father, we ask that you would also be with Michelle and Elias, and you would heal all these and strengthen them to serve you, strengthen them to worship you, even this evening, if it would be your will. For we long to be with them, as they, I assume, long to be with us, and you long for them to be with you and worshiping you together with your people. For you say that you love the gates, the gates of Zion, than compared to all the dwelling places of Jacob. You'd rather have us be here and worshiping you. And so, Father, heal them so they can be here. And heal those, even my wife, Dina, and her long-term malady in which she's unable to be here in the mornings. We pray that you would heal her so she could be here, because you love the gates of Zion. And so we love the gates of Zion more than our dwelling places and all the times of worship at home and our families and in private. We love being here. And so, Father, we ask that you would grant these healing, that you would bring them all and have us all to be together with you in your presence, that your name would be praised by all the more voices and hearts, and even in our obedience and faith in listening to your word as you speak it and proclaim it to us. May that be true of all of us today. Give us ears to hear, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.